Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. Welcome once again to another edition of PZ85 Plays. I am your Game Master, or in this case, your Marshal, Double H, in our Deadlands. Oh my god. Our Deadlands Horror at Headstone Hill game continues. Tonight, let me introduce these Fleekazoids here with us, beginning with the owner and creator of Godzilla 1985, playing Killian Legion to Shannon Young.
Yes, sir!
I knew it. I knew it was coming before I got to it. Playing Thatcher Kane is one R.E. Casper.
Dark gray mist.
That's what I want to hear.
I was going to hit
playing Dr. Emmett Durandal is Stephen Bright.
Those damn alien bastards are real.
It's so long.
Soundboard.
And playing Fern Hawthorne is Lindsay Wolfgang.
The question is, who will kill who first?
Yes, sir!
All night.
It's always me.
Also, I can't impersonate Lindsay's blanket tonight because it's too...
You'd have to go upside down.
It's upside down.
Yeah.
Like, that's Steven's pretty good, choice. Right?
I will say, on the princess blanket, Jasmine is probably the most normal looking of all of them. She just...
Well, not when she's upside down.
That's because my blanket is, as general, is upside down right now.
So anyway, if this is your first time joining us, you got a couple episodes to go catch up on. But at this point in time, our party, our posse, which is what I should have been calling you guys this whole time, is investigating the goings-on of Heaston Hill, where they are looking for missing agent George J.A. Reege. They have a couple of leads, but have not had an opportunity to act on them just yet. As we ended the last episode, night was falling for their first night in Heaston Hill. And the party seemed to have a series of bad dreams that all included the sound of someone screaming. And that's where we left off. So before we begin, does anyone have any questions?
Was the scream Vince McMahon selling off $400 million worth of his stock today?
No, because that would have been a laugh all the way to the bank.
Well, good thing he was
not a scream.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Boy, it's good to see people get their due.
I'm still hoping he gets
Perhaps we can see more of that happen here tonight. Okay, then we're going to pick up almost exactly where we left off just a couple hours later. Quite literally, all of you would hear the crowing of a rooster. Enough times, however many times that is, that it takes to wake you up. Whether you choose to then get up and do anything about it is up to you, but it is about 7:30 in the morning. It is a Friday, for what it's worth. I don't think I ever made a mention that the previous day was a Thursday. It is a Friday. And if the rooster is the first thing you hear, if you are awake long enough afterward, the next thing you would hear would be the sounds of steam whistles in the distance. And so the city of Heaston Hill, Headstone Hill, if you're old school, Terrytown, is slowly but surely waking up for a day of work. How do you all go about your morning routine? What does it look like?
Coffee.
Lots of coffee.
But it's important to note coffee in the sense that I wake up, I make my own coffee because, you know, he's got it in his pack.
How do you do that?
He goes downstairs. Yeah, he goes downstairs where I'm sure they have coffee, right? They have coffee down there?
You guys are in the presidential suite. You know that there is like a tray of coffee coming your way.
Yeah, we can do that in our own room.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll wait for the coffee, but I'm waiting in my underwear.
Okay.
God damn it.
Just my underwear and my cowboy hat.
You're going to cause Kaz to get butter chicken all over his laptop there.
It's all good. I'm sleep naked.
If I remember correctly, I was passed out counting the rivets of the steel sheet underneath the bed.
Yes, you did very much fall asleep on it.
So I feel like I'll be a little sore, and you know, getting up. I'm a little bit older.
It's got a crack in his neck.
You're old as shit, dude.
Yeah, right? You're older than Biden.
Hey, now, let's not make that joke.
So I'll try to clamber underneath the bed, do a little bit of stretching, and then mine wasn't presidential, was it?
No, you and Fern are both in separate, like, standard rooms.
Okay, standard. So I'll need to go and get my own or make my own coffee.
Yeah, then. Yeah. They won't be delivering anything in. I'll just tell you rather than make it some big grandiose thing. Yeah. You guys would know that downstairs, like that little kind of half bar that they have that serves like drinks and cocktails at night with just the one bartender, in the morning is kind of more geared toward getting people out for the day. So while they don't have any food, they do have like coffee at the ready for anyone who's
It's
not a continental.
I'll make sure
It's not a continent.
The Old West. That didn't like start happening till later.
I want Kellogg's fruit toast.
No.
Okay. Well, I gotta go change the name real quick to Kellogg's fruit toast.
Fruit toast.
Talk amongst yourselves. I gotta change Bob's name to Kellogg's fruit toast.
Anybody else disturbed by the fact that in Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Yuffie is romanceable like she was the original game? She's also 16. So Cloud's a pedophile.
I don't like any of this.
Anyway, back to our game.
I thought he was 18. Cloud? I mean, he's still a pedophile.
Yeah. Hold on, let me see. Cloud is 28, Steven.
Ooh. Even with that, is 12-year gap. I don't know about that.
A 12-year gap? Like, how disgusting.
Is he 28 in game time or like?
No, in dog years. He's actually like four.
Oh my god!
If he forgets like 5 years,
I'm calling a moratorium on all of this. Get back to the fucking game.
Damn it!
Yes. Well, Fern being a rancher would have been up before the rooster crowed. At least body wise, would have already woken up. And so she'll have already gone downstairs, had some coffee, being ready to go and get ready to go on the day, but is being polite and waiting for the others.
I have to mention that tonight's episode will now be called Before the Rooster Crowed. That's the name of the that's the name of the soap opera based around this this series, Before the Rooster Crowed.
As the electric light crackles.
I definitely want breakfast.
I'm fine with that.
I want me some solid sausages.
Solid sausages. Like a dog.
That's for a dog. So here's the thing. You guys would know, because you got enough of this information when you arrived the first time, that there are, like, in terms of restaurants, there are some restaurants that are actually geared toward breakfast.
Yeah.
So just a quick rundown of places that would be open at this time. There's a place called Angel's Corner, which is run by one of the town's founders. She's a widow, Angel Epp. It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the only place. It's like a diner, basically, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
The bakery, yes, Bakery DiBianchi, is open. They have, you know, like pastries and that kind of thing, but they also have those meat pies that we talked about that the miners tend to grab in the morning and take for lunch, like a hot pocket full of meat, basically, that kind of thing. It's something that they would stuff into their pails and eat for lunch. Other places to eat around this time, Nolly's Grub is also open. JD Nolly is another person who makes those kind of like meat pocket type things. And so he runs kind of like a quick counter service diner type as well. And I think probably those three would be it. The cigar store is very much an evening deal. They have a little cafe that's meant for like after dinner. The Mountain View, Silver Fountain, and Wyoming restaurants are all either lunch or dinner only. So any of those three places are available. And in fact, anyone you speak to who works for the hotel would tell you, you know, it's complimentary coffee. They bring it to the room if you're in the presidential suite. If you're not, it's downstairs. And that they, you know, they recommend all of those places in terms of food.
So I assume, all about, you know, the reluctant or still away in the from room. Us. So yes, I just kind of like lean over and just like, hey, you up to nosh on some breakfast?
Did you guys sleep in the same bed? Because that was the deal, right? There is just the one bed.
There's just the one bed.
In the presidential suite? I thought there was two beds.
No, you slept naked. And I slept in my underwear.
It's one giant bed, one very big, like California king bed.
Yeah. Works for me. I tend to not move very much, so we're good. And I sleep on top.
Okay.
I like the breeze
on top of
covers. On top the of me?
Yeah. Okay. That's what I was thinking. He was saying.
Real glad I wasn't taking a drink that I was getting at that moment in time.
Fern, remind me, you said that you were planning on kind of trying to get downstairs before everyone else. So you just kind of in the lobby.
I'd be waiting downstairs basically with a cup of coffee or like chilling out on the porch outside waiting for them to get moving.
Yeah, there are a couple of those kind of housemaids like milling about with those silver tureens of coffee and they're refilling cups as they go by. You can see that they're not really using the nicest stuff they have. Probably this isn't the fine china. This is the day-to-day white ceramic coffee mug, which is, I mean, to be fair, for the Old West, pretty nice, especially because it is a high-scale hotel or a fairly high-scale hotel, definitely the highest one in this town. Yeah, for you two guys, whatever time, you know, sometime from 7:30 on, someone would come knocking at the door and would have a silver tray that they would if you let them in, they'll come in and sit down. Otherwise, they're going to leave it outside the door. And it's got, you know, a couple of cups and it's got a tureen of coffee. Doctor.
I'm grabbing coffee. It sounds very good.
Okay. Yeah. So you make your way downstairs. Again, they kind of have it at the bar. At this point, since it's not like late in the morning by any stretch, but there aren't a ton of guests in the hotel, it's kind of self-service. Like they just have a tray sitting out and mugs and that kind of thing.
And Fern, you said that you were going to be at the bar as well.
Yeah. I'm just waiting on everyone.
Okay. I see you. And of course, I'll just, you know, sit at least a chair away just to acknowledge that I am also ready for the day to continue.
So that she doesn't like yell at me. You slept very well. But
no. Man, it's about as good as I usually get. So.
This is not going to be great for the listener, but I imagine like in my head, and this does not have to be canon, Fern's very much drinking coffee like this. Doctor is drinking it like this. Like it's the two-handed, nursing mug.
I just want to make the offhand comment. Sorry, I'm late getting up. I have to make sure my hair was done for today. And it's, you know, just as crazy as it normally is.
Yeah, you'll have to explain your hair routine to me later.
The secret ingredient is illegal.
Presidential suite boys, what are you doing?
Thought we're getting breakfast.
Oh yeah, are you good with delivered corner?
I'm ready to
go. I want to get outside. I need to get out in the open air morning, kind of wake myself up. Definitely, I kind of like allude to that for Overlucton. You know, take a walk down to the Angel Corner, but you definitely don't need. You don't have to.
Thatcher told me, told Killian, you know, good morning. And Killian said, how do you know what kind of goddamn morning it is?
I was hoping somebody was going to use that.
Yeah, I'm up for breakfast. Let's do it.
Okay. So you guys make your way downstairs. You catch up with the remainder of the crew. Is that the plan for everyone then? Same place, same stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a family.
Like a family. So you all set off out into the morning, you know, daylight, just cresting over the bench behind you guys, the Headstone Hill itself. It is pretty chilly, even though it is starting to get toward the summer months. It is pretty chilly here in the morning. There's not a layer of frost out, but there's definitely a layer of like cold dew on pretty much everything. You can see your breath in the air, and you guys can see that there are just loads of miners who are, I said I was going to say it every episode, M-I-N-E-R-S. So for the rest of the episode, when I say that word, that's what I mean. That is correct. There are just tons of miners who are heading up toward the bench itself. I mean, you can literally just sort of watch them trudge up the hill. They look like ants. just heading off to work for the day. Pails in hand, pickaxes slung over shoulders. A couple of them, if they're lucky, have some kind of a nice head covering, some kind of helmet. Most of them don't. And they've got everything that they could possibly get on them at that particular point in time. So they're trudging along as you guys make your way down the street and over to, you said you're going to Angels, right? Angels Corner?
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to suggest going to Angels.
Okay. Yep. Yeah.
Do a beep thing here.
You can see from a distance that that Angels is busy. Again, being open all the time, basically. It's not like outrageously busy, but as the miners are kind of getting ready to head out for the day, this is one of two places where they're going to be found quite a bit because they're grabbing meals to go this early in the morning. But that being said, it's a pretty well kept little place, all things considered. It's a little bit run down, but it's been here for a long time, and that kind of stands to reason. As soon as you get toward the door and kind of make your way through and in, again, there's a steady stream of miners coming through, picking up those meat pockets. There's also like one employee who's just constantly pouring coffee into, you know, whatever kind of container they've got to take with them, something that they're going to drain before they probably even start setting foot on any kind of incline. And there is a particularly old woman who is moving with the same pace, if not faster, than the employees. She has like a couple of younger girls who were helping her out. They don't look like her. Like, you don't get the idea that these are relatives, daughters, or anything like that. This woman, though, she is lithe, she is spry, and she's moving quick. You can see that every time there's almost like some kind of a mistake, she's the one that fixes it. Like, plate almost gets knocked off, she grabs it, tosses it back up, keeps moving. And everyone greets her, where there might be sort of a, you know, thank you, ma'am, kind of thing to the women who are pouring the coffee or handing over the pockets and taking the money and all that. This woman gets a, you know, more than a missip from pretty much everybody, in a tip of the hat and that kind of thing. She knows everyone's name. You hear names flying out constantly, you know, good morning to you and this and that. And she calls out every single person that says something to her. She's polite, but it's I guess polite but firm is maybe the right way to describe it, because she's moving quickly and working constantly. Once you all are close enough to the door, as she kind of passes by there, she stops. She looks you all four together kind of up and down very quickly, just taking in the scene. Realizes obviously that she does not know who you are, and says, sit wherever you like, we'll be with you in a minute. And then she's gone again.
She quick.
Mm-hmm.
Do we get menus?
There's an open table nearby, a standard 4-seat wooden table. Don't wait for a booth, there aren't any. And there's not so much like a menu as you can see that there's a, I don't know if I'd call it a chalkboard, but like they've, like, you know, got a little space where they've scrawled stuff behind the counter. They have those meat pies. They have a lot of your, like it just says like breakfast, $2, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I want that.
And you expect, you know, cause you can look around and see what people are eating. It's standard affair, big breakfast stuff. It's got, you know, eggs and bacon and little sausage. Yeah. Some kind of a biscuit of some kind of bread. Smells good. I mean, you could definitely tell the place smells good from a distance before you even got there. It is, by the way, a 2-story building. The restaurant seems to be the downstairs. There does not seem to be an obvious way upstairs from the inside, but it's a pretty decently sized place. So you're welcome to have a seat, and someone will be with you in a minute. No sooner than you sit down does someone come by and pour 4 mugs of coffee and just drop them in front of you, just assuming that's something you want.
Yep.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'll take that breakfast thing. Oh, I definitely
have breakfast. Well, you have a second to talk amongst yourselves before someone comes to take an order.
Okay.
I ask anybody else if they want breakfast.
Yes.
like a good plan. I remain quiet but steady on my coffee.
Just sniffing it.
Just getting ready for the day.
Just staring at you while I drink.
He's unsettling, a moment later,
but erotic.
Is that reference to my very sexy learning disease? What's it called, Steven?
Sexlexia.
Yes, sir.
So, a moment later, after you've probably had a couple sips of your coffee, the older woman, who you could probably assume is Miss Epp at this point, Miss Angel Epp, the owner of the place, comes by. She kind of adjusts her like apron, like she's again in a tizzy, but she's already asking you all, and what can I get for you? But she's not even quite looking at you; she's just like already thinking five moves ahead.
I won't.
Yeah, I'm gonna order just a basic breakfast, also.
Okay.
I want the biggest stack of goddamn flapjacks you've ever seen, topped off with a river of syrup and the delicious, most edible pig parts you got around here.
Pancakes and sausage. Oh, got it.
Not edible ones.
Like she just deadpans right through it.
With syrup, ma'am.
On the edge.
This is the one time she pauses and kind of looks up at you and goes, "Well, I don't know what kind of man you'd be to be eating pancakes without syrup, son." And she goes right back to it.
Tip my hat and smile at her.
What's that, doctor?
Two eggs, medium, and two strips of bacon.
All the eggs are the same size, son. You're old, by the way, and she calls you son, and she means it. This woman is ancient.
How are you get prepared?
Mom then? Waiting on us.
I just want two eggs, two bacon strips.
She's basically already walking away, and just you hear her kind of go, "Got it," over her shoulder, and she just books it back around the corner.
I'll just assume she got my order.
When she gets into the kitchen, though, you do hear the shouting, "All right, I need a couple of chick eggs on a raft," and just like all the kitchen jargon that you would expect, but it sounds like a drill sergeant is shouting this stuff out.
I imagine it's the old lady, it's diner like from Emperor's New Groove.
Yep. Yep. It's not
in carry beyond belief.
It's pretty accurate that is indeed the case.
So
again, it's fairly busy in here, in the sense that you're kind of alone in a crowded room in that sense. Like you guys are kind of to yourselves while there's lots of people sitting around eating, lots of coming in and going. They basically have like, you can now see a dedicated line where the miners come through, they grab their stuff and they go, and they're all just kind of dropping their money on the counter as they go. You have a little bit before your breakfast comes out. So if there's anything you'd like to discuss about what you're going to do for the day, this would be a great time to do so.
I'm curious go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm going to inform them that I learned last night that there's going to be a judge coming into town in a couple of days, which with that being yesterday, I'm assuming that means Sunday he'll be in town.
Indeed. You can, I'm not going to make you roll for it now that you're kind of in the light of day and have more time to think about it. George Gleason didn't give you a specific time, but he did say in a couple of days, and you would know that it is customary that basically you go to church and then you go to a hanging, right? It's on a Sunday. So most of the time, if he can.
Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll mention time, by name that it's Judge Jesse Knight in case our law dog knows the name.
I,
you know this judge?
I don't know if I know him.
you wouldn't know him by name. Because again, he's a county judge and you're not quite from this county. But that does tell you that this is not somebody who has spent time in your neck of the woods. So Jesse Knight might be a local. He might be someone from further east, but he's not probably someone who has spent any time on the bench, in the western side of the country, any further west than where you are in Wyoming. That is,
he's definitely not been to Alaska.
Definitely. No, no.
Not many people
know,
have.
You would know it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, you would know why. That for certain. Anything else?
Yeah, that's all I learned, so I'm just going to share that with everybody.
I'll just mention that I think after breakfast we need to make a trip over to, help me out, Hunter. I forget the name of the place where the miners go.
Yep.
It's the Emporium.
The Emporium
is the name of the place that you're looking for. Yeah. So the Emporium is a store that is kind of as generic as its name in a way, but it is specifically for the working miners in this town. It carries anything that they could possibly want, from overnight camping equipment to protect their space, to the basic pickaxes, pails, sifters, all that kind of stuff.
And we need to go over there and inquire about this Lynn Buckley.
Lynn Buckles.
I know.
Buckle.
I think I counted about 50 or so rivets on that metal sheet. I'll have to recount to make sure. That's all the information I figured out. Did that help
you?
Us?
You did good.
Thank you. Can I, because I the visual will not get out of my head. Can I offer a suggestion and you feel free to reject it? Imagine in the middle of the night at some point in time you reached up and pulled the sheet off the bed and just dragged it under to cover yourself with.
I like it, but I feel like I wouldn't care.
Okay.
To have a cover.
Like he would have just passed out.
Yeah, I would visually be passed out because I had a lot to dream.
I can see it both ways.
Because remember, I had like a couple more whissies than I planned to.
Yeah, some whissies.
Yeah, I can.
Whissies.
Yeah, some whissies.
I'm a little so hungover.
Whissies.
I can see that. I can see that. That's fine. Anything else you want to discuss? Basically, this is an opportunity for you guys to talk about anything that happened in the last session that you want to chat about. So you kind of.
I mean, I already did. I chat about everything I did.
That happened this morning.
Say that again.
I said, I'm asking around, like, did y'all happen to notice like some screaming going on on the air in the anywhere around? Like, did you hear any of this?
Every waking moment of my life.
What he said.
All not right.
Particularly, so no.
I would assume I would have kind of felt that was like out of the ordinary from my dream last night, Hunter.
That is entirely up to you. I cannot tell you what does and doesn't happen. So what I can tell you is that all of you did hear this. Whether or not you believe it was part of a nightmare you had is completely up to you. But you and do decidedly remember both the nightmare you had and hearing that sound at some point.
I mean, I'm delusional. I'll believe anything Kaz tells me. So
there were screams. And we were all there in this room to get no, not that part. But I am trying to figure out, like, I'm trying to assess how many others may have heard this and seeing if it was all of our particular windows facing in the same direction.
No, they wouldn't have been. So to give you, a sort of a visual. Yeah. So the presidential suite is in the back of the building, and so your exterior would have been out toward the. Actually, I can show you on the map.
Yeah.
I kind of mentioned this last time, but that would be the easiest way.
They were looking towards like 46.
So your hotel is 22. Is right here. That's where Houston Hill Hotel is.
So windows.
Your windows would have been facing north, right around the speaker stump, right here, which we talked about last time. That's something that you could see that was down there. That means that the two other rooms—that's where the suite is, toward the back of the building. There. That means that the other two rooms, your windows would have faced out this way, like heading to east toward six. There.
So I guess what I'm trying to assess is like, was that like when I heard this, I feel like it was probably kind of like. It's pretty evident, pretty loud, and I'm just trying to assess if maybe it was coming a direction that might be coming from.
You were too out of it to tell.
Notes.
Yeah.
As far as what I can tell you, you definitely heard it, but whether or not you heard it in a dream and then visualized that it was real or anything else really is up to you. You know you heard something. You're just not certain that it was even real. And beyond that, you have no facts about where it was coming from, what it sounded like. To be honest, you couldn't even really tell if it was a male or female scream. It wasn't particularly high-pitched, but as best you can tell, it could have gone either way.
Gotcha.
Yeah. That's how much I can tell you about it for the time being. Anyone else? Anything else?
No.
I'm waiting for my breakfast. I don't talk before the chow wagon arrives.
Well, indeed, within a moment or so after that, it's not Ms. Epp. It is one of the younger women, and she is struggling. She's got four plates worth of things, but she comes by, and fairly, once she gets to the place, expertly kind of slings them out into place, and your plates arrive. It's precisely what you would imagine, what you've been offered, or rather, I should say, what you have ordered is what you're being offered. So, stack of flapjacks, bacon, eggs, etc. You've got it. You're welcome to spend your time to eat and fill up and prepare for the day. Each of your meals.
Thinking about, dwelling about what I heard. I know that I heard last night.
Okay.
As I stuff my face full of food, I kind of look up and say, yeah, I heard it too.
I know you did. You're in my room.
I was trying to ignore you. You snore.
Also true.
And you sleep naked.
Because I sleep on top.
And when you snore and you sleep naked and you sleep on top, things flop around and I didn't much appreciate it. The vibration made it seem like we were on some kind of one of those sex beds you hear about in the big cities.
Put a quarter in it.
I'm going to focus on my breakfast. What's a quarter? Story.
Oh, wait. It's a scruple or whatever that we call it.
A scruple,
here.
Yeah.
The scruple.
Yeah. It's rupees.
Oh, rupees. Anyway.
Galleon.
No. No. I'm pretty much hoovering down all this meal.
Yeah.
Hungry as hell. We've been traveling for a bit. I don't know if we actually ate in the night prior. We drank.
You did not. Yeah, you drank quite a bit.
Well, we had the potato soup I threw at the wall.
Yeah, but you threw it at the wall.
Yeah, that was mine, though. You guys finished yours.
Yeah, that's true. You guys did have there was like a leftover stew from the night before. True. There had been a function, so there was a little bit. But I don't recall there being a whole lot of eating that went on in that sense.
I'm gonna go see if a bell is being played with or if glass has been broken. I will be right back.
Okay.
Like you or your character?
That can't be good.
A character?
Yeah, I was confused. I was like, a fucking bell. I didn't say anything about a bell.
Caesar's
so lost.
She hears that shit.
Great Caesar's ghost.
What's wrong with anime angel? Like, is she breaking shit?
You say anime angel? Is that what you said just now?
Anime angel.
Auntie May.
Oh, I thought you said anime angel.
No, I don't have anime on the mind.
I'll go ahead and kind of introduce this because Lindsay should be able to hear me, right?
Yes.
I can mention something while she's gone. Hey, yeah, I heard yes. While you guys are eating, you hear. Well, let me rephrase that. Everybody, make a notice roll, and then we'll decide what you hear.
It's coming your way. Wait, I forgot. What's my notice? Ah.
Oh, that's six. I could keep
Well, that's
rolling.
A good start.
Well, I got a one, and then she got a one.
Oh, that exploded.
I got a five.
Okay. I'm going to go with my 7 plus 2, which puts me at a 9.
Good idea.
Take a 5.
Okay. Doctor.
Doctor.
I got... Uh-oh. Oh, that also exploded.
Oh my god, it kept doing it.
So mine...
What's that happening?
That's at the 14.
Oh, you guys can't see it, can you? He's whispering them.
Oh, I'm sorry. It says 14.
To GM. No, I can see it. He exploded them twice.
Oh, I see. GM roll. My bad.
Yeah, you whispered your rolls to me.
My bad.
Doctor.
It's okay. Sorry. Doctor.
Archie.
14.
So in the midst of eating... as you guys are having your side sort of now muted, I guess, in a way, conversation because people are eating and kind of talking a little bit about what they heard or didn't hear or not sure over the night. All of you would hear, not in the building, like you're reasonably certain, because the diner is a pretty big open space. Like think of the open saloons that you see in like Red Dead and stuff. If you're looking for an idea of the space of the where people can go and sit and eat and all that. But definitely maybe out in the street, like it sounds like it's a ways away, maybe through an open window, you hear a man with a particularly thick French accent who more than once mentions the name Heaston. And it's very proud. Heaston. He says it more than once. Every once in a while, he draws like a smattering of applause, like two or three. You hear sort of claps over the din of the diner itself. But really, that's all you can make out through here. He's not. It doesn't seem like maybe he's speaking into a megaphone. He's just loud. And really, the only word that you can make out after hearing it a couple times, because again, the accent is pretty thick. It sounds like he's saying Heaston. It's just coming out Heaston. And that's that is something that is happening for you to be aware of. Once you're finished eating, and I don't want to rush you along, but you know, if there's anything you want to do between now and the end of that, feel free. Once you're finished, someone will come around and clean up plates, and then stand by and basically wait for payment. This is the kind of place where they're making sure that no one dines and dashes. So whoever comes by and collects your plates will basically stand by. It's $2 per person for breakfast.
Okay. I'll cover it.
Oh, money bag.
No, you're just paying for everybody?
Oh, why not, little lady?
Well, that's nice. Thank you.
Look at him.
I tip my hat to his friend. New old friend.
I'm a gentleman.
Are you all planning to stay, or are you vacating your table?
I'm wanting to, like, I start kind of gathering things just in front of me because I like to not leave a mess behind.
Sure.
Also, Angel, she seems to have things happening and a lot of it. Yeah. So help wherever I can. But at that point, like,
maybe come back and speak with her at a less busy time of day. So
maybe come back.
So literally everyone in town.
Yeah. As you guys are leaving, as you're on your way out the door, you would see her like zip by again. And she's like a little old woman too. Like she's not particularly tall or big or anything. But she would kind of like squeak her way through the crowd real quick and just give you a quick, even if she doesn't look at you, you know, y'all come back now. And she goes right back on about her business.
Oh, I will. That's a good meat pie or breakfast.
Yeah. It's good stuff. It's satisfactory for sure. So nice and full, ready to start the day. When you all step outside, you would then see the cause of the, I don't want to call it a disturbance, but you would definitely see what was producing all of that noise. There is, in fact, a dark-haired, dark, thin, mustachioed man. His mustache is thin, and so is he. He's very tall. He's very lean. He's got, like, something akin to a top hat, like somewhere between a bowler and a top hat on, a really nice tailored coat and slacks and shiny shoes. And he is waving a what looks like at first a newspaper, which might perk your ears up, Thatcher. But it becomes pretty quick that it or pretty clear pretty quickly that it is not exactly a newspaper as much as it is like a pamphlet or a leaflet of some kind. And what he's, without going through the whole rigmarole, what he's shouting about is that he is trying to get the miners, like he's kind of directing his attention at that steady stream of ant-like miners that are just going in, getting their breakfast and heading up, because they're still doing this, even, you know, half an hour or however long later. He's trying to get their attention and trying to get them to join the Heaston Hill Mining Company. Every once in a while, it looks like one or two peel off and come over and you know, take a thing from him, but they don't really talk. You can see when they do, they kind of look over their shoulders at the other people. As you guys step outside, within about two or three people who pass him, one of them turns, hawks up a big loogie, and just spits it on the ground right at his feet. Oh, and he looks him in the eye, and then he turns around and he walks away with his pail. The Frenchman never stops. This does not faze him in one way or another whatsoever.
This definitely piques Thatcher's attention. I'm very curious as to why the animosity of the miners at this guy. So I want to know his story. So
he's French.
Yes. He is. He seems French from afar, but he could be faking it.
Oh, God.
He's very French.
Okay, so what do you want to do here?
I approach him. I ask him about the pamphlet. I'm asking him kind of like, what's his goals? And, you know, why is he like, okay, is he recruiting? I'm trying to understand what he's here for.
Let's try to play this out a little more conversationally, because basically what you say is going to, because I'll step in as his role, is going to react or affect the way that he reacts.
Hey there, so, sir, with the pamphlet. How you doing?
I was going to say, as you come up, he's got him up. He's shouting and, you know, come and join the heating mining company. And he's desperately trying to, I mean, he's really like laying it on thick. So as you come up and start to speak to him, he stops for just a second. You can tell that he's like trying not to interrupt his work. He looks you up and down and he goes, you are a miner?
Perhaps in another life. I don't know.
Ah, then step aside, sir. And he literally, like, he doesn't push you, but he kind of, like, puts his arm on your shoulder and just steps around you and goes right back to his business.
Is there any pamphlets that's on the ground that anyone's, like, he handed out, they took, and then they balled it up and threw it?
Make a notice roll.
All right. Because I want to know what's on this pamphlet, and it doesn't seem like I'm going to be able to get one from him, but perhaps there's garbage on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
Notice roll, right?
Rubbish.
Yeah. I'm coming at you with a 5, and I'm coming back to you again with this exploding 6.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm coming at you again with a, it's another 6, right? I drop after the exploder.
Yeah, you just keep it, you just roll it again.
Yeah, another exploding 6. Tell me what the fuck is going on. Do I get to roll again?
Yes. It continues going.
Last week.
All right, yeah. Cool. So that's
15.
Yeah. I want to know all about the situation with the pamphlet and what he's selling. Yeah. And yeah, I want all of it.
So I'm trying to think. How do you want to acquire one of these without stealing it from him?
Oh, I'm not stealing. No.
Yeah, what do you think works best? Like, we're now going to take this guy almost completely out of the equation. How do you get your hands on one?
I'm assuming that somebody just he was talking to spit at him. So I feel like there's probably a non-zero amount of these pamphlets that have been like grabbed and tossed down, maybe even if they tore up or just balled up, whatever. But I just kind of like nonchalantly just reach down and pick one of these up, because what is on this pamphlet?
I'm going to let you get one that isn't destroyed because you had such a good roll there. So basically, as soon as he pushes past you, you kind of look over your shoulder at him thinking, okay, how do I change my approach to this? And off, like, a little ways in front of you, basically leaned up against the side of Angel's restaurant, of Angel's Corner, you see there are a couple of miners there, one of them who's looking at one, and one of them goes, what in the hell did you take one of them things for anyway? And he goes to swat it out of his hands, but the guy, you know, pulls it away, and he goes, I'm just looking. He starts looking at it again, and then a second later, the other guy goes, oh, bullshit, and he walks away, and this guy goes, yeah. He lays it on the windowsill. And he walks away. And so it's completely unbothered.
I pick it up, start reading it. Is the guy walking away very quickly, or is he kind of slowly walking away?
Because he's trying to catch up to his buddy. It looks like maybe they're mining partners. And so he's like, hang on a minute now. I mean, he's running to catch. Maybe that guy's got all the gear, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so I snatch this thing up and just start like perusing various texts within.
Absolutely. So it's a leaflet would be a better description of it, because a pamphlet makes it sound very professional. And I mean, to be fair, for the Old West, this is pretty professional. You see now why you thought it might have been a newspaper of some kind, because it looks like it's printed through a newspaper printing press. In fact, it very much bears the name Heaston Hill Examiner in a couple of different mentions, not at the headline, not like it's part of the newspaper. But it reads like that might be the newspaper of the area.
That
kind of thing. And without giving you like, you know, word for word, Citizen. Because that would take forever. It is
the Mounds Pub.
It says it is written. First of all, I'll give you a name. It says it's all written. Everything on it is written by a man named Antonio Jovenceau.
Ooh.
That's Jovenceau. Ceau, a very French name.
Incredibly, is there an X at the end of it?
Well, there wasn't, but now there is.
Yeah, now he's very fit.
So, like the articles, for lack of a better term, or the things that are written upon it, are all basically like just perusing it. Since you're, you know, I'm assuming not wanting to stand here for a full 30 minutes and read this thing top to bottom, just perusing it, you get the idea very quickly that this is basically Houston Mining Company propaganda.
Oh, I like propaganda.
It extols the virtues of all of the latest and greatest technology in ore extraction that Houston has to offer, the safety features that come with being a Houston miner, what it means to be part of not just a working partnership, but a brotherhood and a family.
We're a family.
And a family.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, they got your right to your extra
money. It's a union without the union.
Absolutely.
Do they talk about? Go ahead.
No. Sorry. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, in this pamphlet, are they talking about the types of ore that they are producing?
There's nothing specific mentioned in terms of we're going for this, but you do pick up hints of, like, you know, they're. They're like looking for whatever they can get their hands on. They don't say ghost rock, but you know when they say special ores, that's what they're talking about. They're also looking for the basics, gold, iron, that kind of thing. The kind of stuff you would expect. Stuff that's worth something, stuff that can be used. Those are their two primary objectives. There are surprisingly little in the way of numbers. Like, it doesn't say this is how well we're doing or this is what we have done. Basically, just that Houston is on the up and moving. They're on the rise, and you want to join this company while you have the opportunity to do so. Don't languish, you know, trying to make a go at it on your own. Join the Houston family today. It's that kind of thing.
I bring this back to the group. I'm assuming that I've already kind of walked away from it a little bit. And I just kind of bring this back to what?
I was going to say, while this is happening, what are the rest of you doing?
I'm just looking around, scouting, watching everything that's happening. Well, I know he's going to do something stupid, so I'm keeping an eye on him to make sure nothing goes bad.
Yeah, you don't have to do anything specific. I just wanted you guys to have an opportunity because this takes, you know, 5 minutes or so. So if there's anything in that time frame that you want to do.
Smoke.
I probably would have been trying to make note of some of the businesses in the area to see if anything might be worthwhile stopping.
So Angel's Place.
I would have smoked a cigarillo.
One. Yeah, you could do that. You can do that for sure.
That's a free action.
Angel's Place is right in the dead center of Main Street there. So let's see. If you're standing on its porch, like facing outward, then directly in front of you is number 21. Sorry, I got to play my these all written down in a more convenient way. This is not too bad, but it's a lot. Yeah, directly in front of you, where it wasn't super obvious before because they don't have like a big sign on the front of it. If you're looking more closely, Fern, you would see that is actually the office of the Houston Hill Examiner.
Oh,
yeah. Right to its side, number 54.
Is there like newspaper bins where you can get newspapers where we can kind of compare if this what I have in my hands is a real one or if it's a replication of what this place offers?
They're not out front, but you do get the idea that, I mean, you know how a newspaper office works. There are probably some inside. Yeah. The right beside that is the Undertaker. Bong.
Tracks.
See him later.
So yeah, there's like pine boxes that are set up out front of his place and all of that. Directly to your left, that's number 12. That would be... Sorry, I got to scroll down here. That is the haberdashery. That is actually, there would be a pretty opulent sign on it. DeLeon's Haberdashery and Boutique.
Yeah, we can get new hats.
It is a very, classy joint, for lack of a better term. And then the one to your right there is a drugstore. It says drugstore in large letters, like number 14 there. It says drugstore in large letters, and you see that like an additional, you know, the Old West signs where there's like a wooden sign that says something, and then there's like a little hook and chain that connects an additional sign.
Laudanum sold here.
The drugstore sign is old, and it's been there a long time. Like, this is probably one of the oldest buildings in town. The little attached sign underneath is brand new. It looks like it was painted yesterday, and it says on it, a company of Heaston Mining.
Oh.
So.
Wait. That's the place that's doing the propaganda in on this pamphlet, yes. Yeah? Same logo, same name?
Correct.
The people running the town.
That's
yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
They're well, buying they're running the town, and they're desperate to bring people in, which is what's got me super curious. Like, if they're able to run the town, but here's how, like, business. If all the ants are going somewhere, who are they selling to that's not Houston, this company? And I wonder if they are actually making more than this company is.
Who's to say? Independent mining is what you would actually. I tell you what, this seems like a good idea. Time for a roll. If that's something you're trying to figure out,
I am.
Let's make this. I don't know if this is really common knowledge, but let's go with common knowledge. Make a common knowledge roll.
Common knowledge.
Is that just him, or is that others as well?
And that's up to you guys. If you're talking about this at large and you're trying to figure it out, then everyone's welcome to make a roll. Otherwise, this is just something that
I'll roll it. I'm listening. So I've been paying attention.
You're having, yeah, I was gonna say I'd like for you guys to kind of play it out, like what exactly you're talking about and what you're trying to figure out.
So not a research situation.
That exploded. Hold on.
Research would require that you are actively digging into something, that you're looking through files, that kind of thing.
Okay, I got you. I got you.
Marshall, yeah. I got an 11.
I okay. got Jack. I got a 3.
Okay.
I'll try again.
Steven's trying.
I got a 2.
Okay. Okay.
I got dead air.
Dead air. Sorry. It's okay. All right, so... So I'm assuming that in this instance that Thatcher, you've been kind of trying to work through this audibly, and that's why everyone else is in the conversation.
Deeply,
right?
Yes, very much. Yeah. Speaking out loud. So basically,
you've shown them the pamphlet, you've explained what you believe might be of concern, why do they want miners in the town, or why they want them to sign up with them so badly, yes?
Yes.
Is that the question, effectively, that we're trying to answer? Let me ask you, what exactly is the question that you're trying to answer with these roles?
I'm trying to understand why. What's this company called again? I'm sorry.
Heaston Mining Company.
Heaston Mining Company. I'm trying to figure out why they are able to have such power here, but seem so desperate in acquiring more headcount.
And what was our missing agent trying to tie them to?
Yeah. So, while it doesn't come to you all that quickly, Emmett, both you and Killian would to some degree recognize that, I mean, you can put together the pieces pretty quickly for the basics. It's the Scarface rule, right? First you get the money, then you get the power, then you get the respect.
Women.
Yeah, we're going to skip that part. But although that might factor in too, I don't know. So, both of you have probably been around, definitely you, Killian, in investigating various cases, because mining is big business in Alaska as well.
Oh, yeah.
Have been around situations where you've had to deal with people who work in this kind of business. Mining in the Old West is, in many ways, the stockbroking of today. It's a luck game. There's not a lot that you can do. There are certainly some good moves you can make, but at this time in history, finding the right place is sometimes just a luck of the draw, just a flip of the coin, right? So the money in mining is all to be made on whoever gets to the right seam first. It stands then to reason that if Heaston is a company that specializes in that sort of thing, and they have enough money to get everyone as many people anyway as possible under their thumbs, they get a much bigger cut of whatever those people sign up for. So independent miners are problematic for mining companies in the same way that independent sellers of any kind of product are problematic for the people who produce that product separately, right? Mm-hmm. Or people you have under your thumb, the more you can get away with in terms of taking cuts of those profits. There are no monopoly rules in the Old West. No one's going to step in and say, you can't be the only game in town.
Damn right.
So yeah, they made the town. It's Easton Hill.
Well, it is now. Again, right? They came in to a town that already existed and was not this at all. And they've already bought up large chunks of it regardless. Getting the rest of the miners under the same umbrella would basically be, you can look at it one of two ways. If you're on the side of the Easton company, it would be the final thing you need to do to truly make this Easton Hill. If you're not on their side, it would be the last nail in the coffin.
Okay.
So that's what you know. You can relay that however you like, or you can just take it at what I've said, and that would be the way that you explain it. But that would be your assumption based on the information that you have.
I'm going to leave this for Old Reluctant to explain to Thatcher here.
Well, I left you something in the chat. I need you to look at.
Oh, God.
I'm going to explain that to Old Thatcher.
Okay. I'm old now.
No, old. When you say old, it's a term of endearment.
O-L apostrophe.
Like when you say calculator instead of calculator were.
Sorry, calculator.
Yeah.
Wait, what's a calculator?
Those commie robots we're fighting. Steven.
Big building with lots of windows, but that's not the
shit. Steven. Can you?
Can you?
I hate it.
Anyway, if you guys are done pawing around for the next clue, maybe we should get some real work done around here. I'm going to head over to the Imperium and talk to Gunther.
So no explanation.
I explained it to you.
He did. He said he explained it to you.
Yes.
He did.
Yeah, I'm not going to repeat everything Hunter said, so just assume everything Hunter said is what it's said. Truth. Yes.
The short version of it is, again, having independent people doing the same job cuts into their profits.
Yeah.
That's basically it.
Too many freelancers.
Someone else makes claims to a vein, they can't do anything with it.
Precisely.
Yeah. Yep. How many veins are here?
Too much freelance so work.
It's king of the queen of the boomtowns.
A lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people. And, well, I mean, again, I won't even make you roll for this. Terrytown Bench or Headstone Hill or Easton Hill or whatever you call it, that big slab of rock that you guys saw on your way in. I mean, that thing is where they're headed. You can see them again, like ants marching up a hill to that thing. It's a huge section of rock. So, you know, even though there's a lot of people doing it and they're doing that work every day, there's a lot of rock to cover there.
I want to ask Thatcher, our nosy person, do you think maybe the miner Lynn Buckles ran afoul of the mining company?
Is there anybody around here that we know? Do we know of anybody that's affiliated with Buckle?
We have a picture of Buckles, right?
Yes.
You have a picture of him. Yes.
Yeah.
Is there Lynn Buckles in the again is
with him that we know of? This,
no. No, that picture is literally a headshot of him.
Yeah, Thatcher, I want you to show that Frenchman the picture of Buckles and ask him if he knows him.
Yep. Wait, yeah, that's
you've established a rapport with him already, so hopefully it'll go easier with you.
I'm going to pull that picture. I posted it here last week, but I'm going to pull it and throw it back in here in the text only for babies so you can see. This is
shit.
Maybe. This is George J.A. Reege, a.k.a. Lynn Buckles. You guys only know him, or I'm sorry, you guys know him as both. The people around here apparently know him only as Lynn Buckles. That was a cover name that he was using while on assignment here.
Right. So they don't know him by his actual name. They know him as Minor Lynn Buckles. That's why.
Correct.
That's why, yes, I keep referring to him as Lynn Buckles in public, because they don't need to know who he really, yeah, is. Yep. I'm going to go grab a water while you go do that, Kaz. I'll be right back.
Yes, I'm walking up to the French guy with the picture, and I'm asking him, "Have you? Does this person look familiar to you? Is he by chance one of your employees?"
He turns back, because again, you're basically now approaching him from behind. He turns back after, like, he finishes his current sort of pitch, and you hear him go, "Oh!" And he turns back and looks again to you. You can see he's already irritated. He looks at the picture. Like, he hears what you say. He looks in closely at the picture, and he goes, "No, I do not know this man."
I ask him,
"Is that all now?"
No. He seems very, like, dismissive. It's kind of like whenever you're at, like, police are out on the street, Law and Order style, looking for people, and they're like, "Have you seen it?" And everybody's like, no. They just wave it by. Is it one of those situations? Is this somebody? I'd like to just kind of stop and be like, "Hey, I want you to just kind of, like, calm down for a second. Take a look at this. This is very important."
He's gonna make a persuasion roll. Because at this point, he does not seem convinced that he owes you an answer about anything.
Yeah, it's fine. I totally understand.
I will tell you, this is an opposed role. He is concerning himself with that as well.
Persuasion, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Alright. Explode boom.
Okay.
This is boom.
Seven.
Okay. So how would you, if you were going to persuade someone, your character, how would they do it? Is this
it's a very kind of kind, more warm gesture. I'm not, like, forcing my hand onto him. I'm not, like, telling him, "You stop," or what's that?
Well, yeah, intimidation is a whole separate tactic. That's a whole different thing.
It's not like,
"Yes, sir!"
I'm just asking him, like, "Hey, I'm showing him the picture." It's just like,
"And you
tell me who this is."
You're trying to break through his
dark. Have you seen this guy?
He's
giving me a deal here.
He stops and sighs. It's a very long, very French sigh, and very defeated. Like, he kind of, like, slumps over, and he goes, "Ah, may I?" And he reaches out to take the picture.
Yeah, I do so very, very, like.
So he lets his other hand kind of dangle with the leaflet, and he takes it and he looks at it and he examines it a little more closely. And after a second, he flips it over. He looks on the back to see if there's anything from it. He looks more closely. You see him kind of scrunch up his face. He hands it back to you. He looks you dead in the eye and he says, "Sir, I do not know this man."
Okay.
Hunter, can I use my ability to check him and see if he's lying again? That's an ability, right?
That's an ability? What ability? What do you mean?
Whenever we were talking to that one guy and I was, like, watching him as a lawman to see if there's any tells on if he's potentially lying.
Oh, yeah, it's a notice thing. You can make a notice roll.
I'd like to do that if that's okay.
While this is happening.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
God damn, that's 2 1s tonight, baby. It's a 5. It's a 5.
Okay. I mean, as best you can tell, he's not lying outright. He might still not be really giving this the attention, even though he kind of made it look like he was, that he could. But he doesn't seem to be lying. Like, he's not covering his ass.
Yeah.
This isn't I absolutely know who this guy is and I'm not going to tell you. This is more of I don't have time for this and I don't know what this is about, so I'm just going to tell this guy what he wants to hear. Now, what he wants to hear is, "Yes, I know him and he lives over there, but I don't know that and he's going to come back looking for me, so I'm just going to be as straightforward with him as I can." That's what it reads like.
So now that I've got his attention, I'm curious, like, since he's already kind of engaged on me, I try again just to kind of ask him a little bit more about, like, his hiring tactics here. Maybe I have considered being a miner, and if I pick up doing freelancing, that's not going to benefit you. So perhaps I'm looking at expanding my professional services, and I might be interested in joining your company. Would love to learn more.
He's less enthusiastic about the way that he is trying to get the, and fortunately for him at this point, the trail of miners heading into the hills is starting to slow to a trickle. There's not as many, so it doesn't feel like he's, like, wasting his time by talking to you. He's less enthusiastic as he would be with them, but he does specifically say, well, sir, you know, if you are looking into being a miner, then the only proper way is to join the Heasting Mining Company. And he hands you now a leaflet. He hands you one of those that you would have previously taken.
I kindly gesture back to him. I'm like, I already got one. Don't waste, you know, this stuff is expensive. Hold on to your paper.
He kind of scrunches up his eyebrows, but he doesn't like stop what he's saying to deal with that. But he does kind of retract his hand. He doesn't say anything more than the kind of things that you would expect there. He says exactly what you already alluded to, that being independent means that you have to handle a lot of business on your own, right? You've got to set your own claims at the assay office. You've got to protect your own back, basically. Who knows what these other independent miners will do to get their hands. Men have been known to be killed over this sort of thing. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, when he says that, could I potentially step up at this point? I've been sitting back and listening to this. When sure. He says men could be killed, I want to step up to him. With that picture of Lynn Buckles again, I'm going to take it from Thatcher's hand, kind of show it to him, and I'm going to show him the badge on my vest and ask him, we're actually looking into the disappearance of one of those miners, or I'm looking into the disappearance of one of those miners. Why don't you do me a favor and take a real good look at that picture one more time and make absolutely sure you don't know him, because I would absolutely hate to jam you up today, tomorrow, and every day for the foreseeable future while you're trying to pitch your trade here, friend.
Gonna get jammed up. You're gonna have to make me an intimidation roll for this. At this point, it's not nice. I mean, you're not being a total dick about it, but there's definitely.
But he definitely.
We got the good.
He waved us off.
Bad cop situation going on.
Yeah.
That's a five.
Okay.
I got a five.
Okay.
Not bad on a six.
So he. I'm trying to decide how I want to play this. At the side of the badge, he doesn't let on that he like you see a look in this man's eyes that you've seen a million times before as a lawman. As soon as he sees the badge, people react typically one of two ways. I don't care. Because I have nothing to hide, because I'm above the law, whatever the case may be, not necessarily in a good or bad way, or I do care and I know this is bad news for me, whether it's I'm definitely guilty or I'm super innocent, but I'm afraid you think I'm guilty. his reaction is much more of the latter. You see the eyes go wide. He looks
so normal.
He looks concerned. Yeah, in some form or fashion.
So everybody's reacted.
He says, Orangiar, if you would, please. And he takes the photo once more. He takes it. You were offering it to him, right?
Yeah.
Okay. He takes it from your hand, but he takes his other hand and kind of like puts it to your back gently. He's not being forceful. It kind of turns you away. Like he's trying to guide you to where it's just the two of you sort of speaking so that the group is not, you know, right there. You guys can still hear, but he's kind of trying to just be quiet about this. As soon as he gets you to where he thinks is a place where he can kind of speak a little more quietly, and again, over the din of the town, there's still, you know, roosters are crowing, whistles are going, people are moving about the streets and everything, horses are riding down the street every once in a while, he speaks in a much more quiet voice. It's not quite a whisper, but it's quieter. And he says, listen, Ranger. I ain't exactly afraid of you, but this don't got to get any uglier, all right? For what it's worth, I don't know nothing about this fella here. But I heard you mention the name Buckles. Now, I heard that the bandit that old Marshall Wister's got into jail, I don't know her name, but I heard she sold Elmer Blaine over at the Aspen Lounge, a pistol they took off of someone named Buckles. It was a Gatling pistol, you know? Kind of like those rats at the agency carry. And that's all I know, friend. I'm crapping you negative.
I'm gonna.
We have an accord? And he kind of like he kind of like puts his hand out for a handshake, but he's clearly trying to hide it. He doesn't want your group to know that you have gotten anything out of him, unless you care to share it.
No, no, I'm gonna shake his hand like secretly and look him in the eyes and say "wee wee."
He grins, and for the first time, you see he's got this like really bright gold tooth, and he like winks at you, makes a little noise. And then turns back and says, "I hope that this will settle our affairs." And my French is terrible, but you get it. You know, he goes right back into
apparently not as bad as my Spanish on Saturday or Friday, according to Derek Boxdorfer.
Well, that's because you are not Greg.
But I want to hear stories about Greg.
About Greg.
Yes. Yes. I'm going to walk back to my compatriots and tell them that. I heard from someone, and then I'm going to look back at him and go, not him, that
he just tips his hat to you.
I'm going to head over to the sheriff's, talk to him about a woman that got in there, you know, law to law, see if I can find out some information.
Okay.
What about the three of you? And then I'm going to look directly at Emma and go, not you, not interested. You two.
Well, you're going to talk to them. Why don't we head over to the Emporium and save some time?
Oh, gotcha. I thought it was the. Oh, hold on. Just take a step back and out of character, real quick. But they sold like the information that you had been provided about selling a gun to the Aspirin Lounge. Is that right?
Yeah, but the woman that sold it is in the jail right now, and she got it from a Buckles. So I'm going to go see if I can find out how she got this gun.
She got it off of Buckles and sold it to someone at the Aspen Lounge, right. Is what I grabbed.
Yes, yep. That is correct.
So I'm going to go inquire with her.
Basically, you have three places that have become places of interest in the course of this session, which would be the Aspen Lounge, the Emporium, and the Marshal's Office.
I figured.
Yeah, I'm down with the Emporium.
Not to say you can't go anywhere else, just that those are places that you have heard about from people for specific reasons.
I am on a mission here, you know, as a lawman. I ain't got time to dick around in the yard.
I'm looking for interesting stories, and this is leading in a direction that has piqued my interest.
I figure
get yourself shot if you go to the Aspen Lounge.
As I say, if someone's wandering around the Aspen Lounge with a Gatling pistol, that might not be somewhere you want to go by yourself with your mouth. Unless you want to take, I'm going to point at Emmett again, that one with you, and maybe you'll confuse them so damn much they won't pay attention to what you're doing.
I'll just know that.
That's not a bad idea.
That's not a bad idea.
I'm harder to hit than you think I might be.
Yeah, but I love splitting the party. So here's what I think. I'll go talk to the sheriff. Fern can go talk to the Imperium. Emporium. Imperium?
Imperium. I've already said I'm going to the Imperium.
Emporium. But then you two go to the Aspen Lounge. Let Emmett be weird. And while he's weirding him out, you like look around.
Actually, I like that plan a lot. And as we get closer to it, I assume he's in his own world. Emmett, I'll let you kind of like, I'll throw that at you. But if you're that way, and I'm just going to let you go ahead of me and in.
Just riff.
I don't want to be like part of that. I want the people to see his shenanigans.
I don't
want to
be part of that.
I don't want to be part of it.
I sense a sacrificial lamb.
Very much curious how this is going to play out.
Me too. This might be an early game.
So that is the plan then? So
we're going to do a three.
Make sure I have it correct. So just so I'm clear and so the listeners are clear. Thatcher and Emmett are going to the Aspen Lounge. Fern is going to the Emporium. And Killian, you are going to the marshal's office and the jail,
yes.
Which are not the exact same place, but effectively they are very close to each other. Yes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cody, if I get done in the Emporium quickly, I will head to the lounge after them.
Okay. So as you all are preparing to split, like what final discussions do you have for each other before you split your party?
I will give a little speech to everybody and tell them, The deeper we get involved with this, as a lawman, you know, I've had my share of trouble before, and the deeper we get into this, the more people are going to be watching you from the shadows. So keep quiet, except for you. And he points to Emmett again. and watch it back. Any sign of trouble, you come back and you find me. Do not engage by yourself. I don't think you're cut out for that line of work. Now I'm going to look at Fern. Maybe you.
I'm going to take the photo back with me so that I can make sure to ask the shopkeep if they've sold gear to this individual.
Hmm. Okay. So you have the photo. Anything else?
That's my words of wisdom.
Okay. So as the three of you head off in different directions, we would go to sort of an overhead look. Again, the sun is starting to climb in the sky. We go to an overhead look. The four of you go in three groups.
Yeah.
you know, curt nods between each other, the handing back of the photo and all of that, and you head off in separate directions, but we're not going to follow any particular individual. We're going to pull away from them up over the town of Heaston Hill, up over the bench where we see the sun again is beginning to rise, and to where we can see that there is a circle of vultures that is circling just sort of lazily the town itself. And that is where we're going to call it tonight.
Oh.
Yes, sir!
Yeah. Where's the body?
The town, Lindsay. The town is dying.
There was the scream! I still think our songbird's dead.
Probably.
And that's what we're gonna say for tonight. I'm not gonna say any more about it. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you as always for joining us for another edition of PZ85 Plays. We will be back next week to continue the horror at Headstone Hill, our Deadlands adventure. But in the meantime, we got a lot of good stuff coming up this week as well. Shannon, March Madness officially kicks off tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I'm already mad. I'm mad at Amarin.
Crazy or just irritated? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Pick your poison. What are we watching tomorrow?
Well, I watched it today, and hopefully you'll have time to do so as well. We are covering the 1992 sports comedy classic White Men Can't Jump, starring Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes.
And Rosie Perez.
I had never seen it. Got a chance to watch it this afternoon. So I won't say anymore. I'll save it for the show.
White Men Can't Jump is one of those films. Growing up, when I was, especially that time period, I was really getting into my hip hop and rap phase. I was a big rap fan. I was big into basketball. Kaz remembers all the days we'd shoot some hoops out there in Hudsonville on the old basketball goal. White Men Can't Jump was one of my favorite movies growing up. I love Woody Harrelson. I love Wesley Snipes. However, I have not seen that film in probably 20 plus years. I am curious to see how I react to it now. Still love rap. Still love hip hop.
Sure.
Not the same mentality that I was back then. So I'm curious to see how this goes. They did, by the way, they remade that film.
Really?
They remade that film, I believe, last year, the year before, with Jack Harlow. Is that his name?
Yeah, he's a rapper.
Yeah. Jack Harlow and let me see.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, 2023. I'm looking at it. Jack Harlow and Cinqua Walls.
Yeah.
Who he looks familiar. What was he in?
I'll be honest with
Lance you. Reddick was in it too.
Lance Reddick was in it, yeah. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Did not get a good reaction. No.
Because there was no reason to remake this movie. Now that I've seen it, I can say that definitively.
There wasn't a reason to do this. This movie was very much a product of its time. It was a product of that era. This was, you know, the B-ball days. This was, you know, and one. This was, you know, street hoops, stuff like that.
Venice Beach.
Yeah. I mean, this was a whole culture, man. That culture doesn't exist anymore. I'm curious to see how I feel about this film now. In the year 2024 of our Lord.
So that's tomorrow night, Thursday night. Lindsay, what do we got on After Dark?
Yes, Lindsay.
I haven't picked yet.
All right. Mm. Top five Disney princess faces on the blanket. Here we go.
Number one, Jasmine.
And then,
number one, shut up, Jasmine.
And then Friday night, it's horse time?
It's horse or dump.
It better be. Oh, God, it really is.
I don't like it. Yeah, I don't think I
should probably watch that skit.
Well, that's still better than Hump or Horse.
Hump or Horse.
So that's dark what's sleep, happening for the rest
eternal
of the
sleep.
Eternal sleep. And then we are back. You'll have a few of those before we come back next Tuesday for the next installment of PZ85 Plays Deadlands, the horror at Headstone Hill.
Yes,
for tonight,
sir.
For For, yes, sir. For Shannon, for Cass, for Steven, and for Lindsay, I am your Marshall Double H. Keep an eye out for those vultures. We'll see you then, partner.